Is that me? Didn't think so. So be it, Lord. All of me. Open your Bibles, two places, real quick. I had three truths about what it means to live by faith that I was going to share with you today, but I'm only going to do one, and then we'll do probably one next week and one the week after, because it's really important, church. Tresor pointed out that they stepped out in faith. I wonder how many of us in this room really knows what that means, to step out in faith. So I want you to open your Bibles. First of all, in the very beginning of your Bible, it's right towards the beginning, it's right towards the front, Genesis chapter 12. I want you to find Genesis chapter 12 and fold the page over, put a finger in it, do whatever you have to do. I don't know, steal a dollar from somebody and stick it in there. Genesis chapter 12, and then I want you to turn towards the back of your Bible, and I want you to turn back to Hebrews chapter 11, where I was 2 weeks ago when we started this whole thing about pursuing God and living by faith and choosing to live by radical faith. Hebrews chapter 11, Genesis chapter 12. Now, if you found Genesis 12 first, that's fine. You should now be in Hebrews chapter 11. That's where I want to start. Hebrews chapter 11, the very first verse tells us, it defines faith. Now, we all can say we have faith, and we can say that we live by faith, but the Bible lists out truths of what it looks like. It defines faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, as the substance of that which is hoped for, and the evidence of that which is not seen. The Greek word for substance in this text refers to English as essential nature. In the writings of the day that Hebrews was written, the word substance was used as a title deed for property. So if we take it as it was used in the day Hebrews was written, we know that faith is the title deed to that which is in the future, that which we hope for, that has been promised by the Lord. If the Lord God makes a promise to us, then by faith we know that it will come to pass. Tresor said, there was a building right there. We needed it. We wanted it. It could be used greatly, but it was an impossibility by the way we looked at it. So we did what? We stepped out in faith, believing that God's promise to us was that He would always provide for our needs for the children. That's the basis of His ministry. He saw an opportunity, and God said, I will always provide for your ministry. That building would provide perfectly, Lord, and that part of that building is exactly what we need. And God, you said you'd always provide for our needs. That's what Tresor said when he said we stepped out by faith. God had made a promise to always meet our need. They stepped out in faith, believing that promise, and they have the building. That's the first part of what faith is. It is the title deed. It is the assurance, the confident assurance that when God says, I'm going to do this, God will do it. Now, faith is also the evidence. And the Greek word for evidence is legal proof. It's the same word you and I use in the courtrooms today. Without the proper evidence, there is no legal proof for a conviction of the crime. Legal proof. So therefore, faith is the legal proof. It is the proof to the soul. It is the proof to the heart. It is the proof to these eyes that what cannot be seen by the naked eye can be seen when we look through the eyes of God. That which is invisible to man can be seen through the eyes of faith. Now, if we're just walking around our everyday lives, and we're going about our everyday lives, and when we can explain everything that's happening in our life with common sense and personal man-type experiences, then we are not living by faith. Tresor said it was an impossibility for them because a denomination and a government that normally wouldn't work with us needed to be working with us. So instead of looking at the situation as impossible, they looked at the situation by faith. And they experienced the power and the presence of God. Now in verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2 says that when people live by faith, they obtain a testimony by God himself. The Greek actually reads right there that what it literally says is these people who the rest of Hebrews chapter 11 lists out, these people, when they lived by faith, their life actually received a witness by God himself. It was as if God says, these are my kids. I'm proud of them. When it says that by faith the elders obtained a good testimony, here's what the author is saying. When Moses stood up for righteousness, when David slew Goliath, when the three Hebrew boys refused to bow to King Nebi, when Nehemiah built the wall, when Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal, God looked down and said, amen, that's my boy. We need to understand that the Bible tells us that God truly digs it when his people dare to trust him and step out in faith. The question is, what does it look like to step out in faith? What does it mean to live by faith? We have an entire hall of fame in Hebrews chapter 11. This morning I want to talk about Abram and his wife. You see, I believe that this Bible teaches me that if I'm going to live by faith, then I'm going to believe what others will not believe. If I'm going to live by faith, then I'm going to be seeing what other people do not see. If I'm going to live by faith, then I'm going to be doing what other people will not do. Because when a person lives by faith, the people around them that are not living by faith look at that person who's living by faith and go, he must be nuts. Last week, Dirk shared with you about getting out of your salvation boat and rescuing people. Makes no sense to most church people in this day to get out of that ocean liner of comfort and jump into the crazy storm ravaged waves to go save somebody. Can I just stand on the edge of the boat and throw them a lifesaver? No! In Mark's gospel, Jesus uses, and Mark, the writer, uses a term called, that we see written as urgent. Time and time again, immediately, immediately, immediately. The entire gospel of Mark is written in a way to teach those who have been rescued by Christ to get out of their comfort and jump into the stormy waters and go save those who are drowning. People who live by faith are mocked by people who don't live by faith. People who act out faith are ridiculed by people who are too afraid to live by radical faith. Truth number one about living by faith, as we're going to learn from Abraham, is that living by faith means accepting a call from God without knowing where it will lead. Can I answer it? Dang it. I've done that before. This is Eric's phone. Who's calling? Well, where's Eric? He's sitting in the second pew of church. Where are you? I haven't done that to Eric. I've done it to other people. Well, I offered. There's a storm raging. I could have just jumped in. I call him back. Hey, this is Eric. Someone wants to talk to you. If you turn to Genesis chapter 12 in your Bibles, we pick up the story of Abram. Now, it'll say Abraham in many Bibles, but this is his name was Abram, and he was the son of Terah. He was the grand and we pick up with Abram in chapter 12, and the Lord is speaking to Abram. Now, it's interesting to note that when we first meet Abram here in chapter 12, he's living in the land of called Ur of the Chaldees. And he's on the banks of the Euphrates River, and it's right about where the Euphrates flows into the Persian Gulf. If you're familiar with that in modern day time, at the time that God speaks to Abram, an interesting thing is occurring in the land where Abram and his wife and family live. Abram's a relatively financially successful guy. He's a middle aged guy. Things are going well with Abram and Sarah financially and all that kind of way. But there's the main God that Abram is worshiping, or the people in the land that Abram lives in is worshiping, is the moon god. and the God of the moon, the God of the celestial beings. And his name, when you translate it from Hebrew into English, his name is the God of sin, S-I-N. So it's an interesting idea to begin to look at and see that Abram's living in a land where sin is worshipped. Ta-da, 2016, right? I mean, it's an amazing thing. We live in a land where the freedom to live however we want to live, to do whatever we want to do to our bodies and our relationships and whatever makes us feel good, that's what we worship. It's everywhere. So it's amazing that God called Abram in the midst of this land of people that worshiped sin, that God is going to do the same thing in our lives today. God is going to call FBCOites, you all who are sitting in this room today, who say you are followers of Christ or thinking about being a follower of Christ, you need to understand that God is going to call you from a life of worshiping sin to a life of following him. Okay? He's going to call you out of darkness, and he's going to call you into light. He's going to call you from living the way you are to living a completely different way.
Better.
Thank you, yeah. You just keep going, Emily. That's like gas on a flame. So verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1 of Genesis. Look, the Lord calls Abram. Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. To the land. Can you imagine Abram? He's just living his life. We really don't have a whole lot of evidence that Abram was this God freak, that he worshipped and bowed down to God all the time. We have what we know of the land of Ur of Chaldeans, and we know that everywhere around Abram and Sarah and his family was the worship of sin, and it was in their culture. I mean, Ur, the city of Ur, was an incredible metropolis type thing. It was the center of philosophy. It was the center of mathematics. It was the place to be in the day of Abram. Everything that was going on centered right there. And God calls Abram out of the midst of it. And where does God call Abram to go? He says, I'm going to show you where you will go. He didn't say, open up, get your globe out or open up your papyrus and find the map. You know, how many of us in our lives, when we say, okay, God, I'm ready to surrender my life to you, and I want you to show me everything, and God says, no, I just want you to surrender your life to me, and then I'll take you where I want you to go. But God, I have some ideas of what that should look like, and God, I have some ideas of where I should go, and I have some ideas of how I want you to get me there. Too bad, so sad. God says, no, because if it's your way, it's not my way. See, living my way is not a life of living by faith. Living by my understanding is not a way of living by faith. Living by my set of rules or my dictates is not living by faith. And God says, Abram, I'm going to call you out to a land where I'm going to lead you. I'm pretty sure we don't see it in the scriptures, but I'm pretty sure when verse 4 says, Abram got up, he departed as the Lord spoke to him, and Lot went with him. So really, I mean, evidently Abram wasn't fully obedient either. But anyway, Abram took his Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all the possessions that they had gathered, and all the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. They came to the land of Canaan. They left Ur and went to Canaan. They left home and everything that was there. They left the center. It would be like, and this makes no sense to most of us in this room, because nobody in this room, other than probably me and my wife, like New York City. I mean, I loved being in New York City when I was there. Manhattan was incredible. The energy, I would love to go back. Not sure I could live there forever, but I could go back and visit a lot and enjoy it. But it'd be like leaving that and coming here. No offense to those of you who have never been to New York. It's a total culture shock. Here's a better one that many of you would get. It would be like me showing up next Sunday in Mizzou Tiger stuff. You'd go, dude's lost it. He's flipped his, he's gone. It'd be like me handing my granddaughter to Tresor. You think, what is wrong with this guy? But see, that's exactly what's going on in Abram's life. He's leaving Ur and he's going to Canaan, where the Bible says that he lives in a tent. There was no one there waiting for him. There was no one there pointing the way. God just said, get up and leave and head out. Where, God? I'll show you where you're going to go. How am I going to get there, God? I'll get you there. It was a total life dominated by faith. He didn't know where he was going. The Bible, we read it and we go, okay, Abraham just got up and left. Like, okay, because God made it clear. No. The only thing God made clear was that he was going to lead Abram every step of the way. He didn't point to a map. He just said, get up and go. And Abram, in verse 4, got up and went. If you truly want to do God's will, I mean, if you want to live by faith, most of the time when you are called to walk by faith, you will find yourself exactly where Abram was, setting out on a journey that to most people, maybe not even you, would make sense. Why am I doing this, God? I don't see the necessity of this. Here's how it happens in many of our lives today. We don't see suffering as God's plan for our life. Well, we don't see bad news. We don't see disease processes or crazy freak accidents or whatever. We don't see those things as God's plan. We see those as negatives. And yet many times throughout Scripture, we see that God's plan is exactly for these things to happen in someone's life. Think of Joseph back in the Old Testament. I mean, this was a guy, I mean, he was a kid, and all he wanted to do was be a kid in his daddy's house, and his brothers hated him, and his brothers tormented him, and his brothers threw him in the bottom of a well. Oh, I mean, think of even after that, he's in the palace, and yet he gets thrown in jail because some crazy woman is after him. What did Joseph ever do to deserve any of that stuff? I'll tell you what he did. He chose to live by faith. He chose to say, okay, God, I'm laying my life before you. Okay, Jehovah, I am yours. When Madison sang that word this morning, I heard it in this room. There was some small, audibly, yeah, Lord, yeah. Oh, please. Listen, when we step out and begin to say we're going to live by faith, we need to understand that most of the time, walking by faith means we're going to set out on a journey that makes no sense to most of the world, and most possibly might not even make sense to our heart or our mind. But if God has called us to it, and we walk by faith, the only certainty we have is that God will keep his promise. Right. I was asked to Does the devil attack us in relationships? All the time, right? Why? Why does God do? Because listen, I love you with all my heart until you tick me off. Love is not an emotion or a hormonal feeling. We love only because he first loved us. And the only way we can understand his love for us is by faith. To trust that when God says, I love you, I died for you, I was buried for you, and I rose again for you. The only way we can understand that is by faith. Trusting that what God has said, God will complete. Abram stepped out in faith, even though he had no written guarantee. My wife and I are contemplating the necessity in our house of having a bathroom remodel. Just because. Toilets are bad things. If they don't work properly, they wreak a lot of havoc. And one of the things my wife says, we were discussing it yesterday, I'm getting bids to different things. She goes, here's what we're going to do for sure. We're going to get it in writing. We're going to get a timetable. We're going to get it in writing. And I'm thinking in the back of my head, yeah, we can get that in writing, but that doesn't mean the fool's going to follow it, right? I mean, we can't take people at their word anymore. Abram didn't have any written contract or document that God said he would keep his word. All he had was God's word. Today, most of us in the church, we want God's word and. No. Living by faith means we don't get the and. We get God's word, and that is enough. The Bible says that God loved you so much, that he loved the entire world so much, that whosoever, who's whosoever? Anyone. God loves you so much that whosoever would believe on him, have faith. Believe that when God said, my son Jesus went to the cross to pay for your sin. Number one, that means you're a sinner. Whosoever is a sinner. Pastor Darren's a sinner. Miss Wendy's a sinner. Margaret's a sinner. Whosoever is a sinner. We have to accept the fact I'm a sinner. I might not like that fact. Matter of fact, I'll be honest with you. I don't like it when people point out that I'm a sinner. My wife made a very disparaging comment to me yesterday about that she was in, she took money out of my wallet. She says, do you have a dollar? Four. I said, no, I don't have a dollar four. She goes, you're going to make me walk by these people and not give a dollar. I said, yeah. So I had my hands full. She reaches in my back pocket, gets out my dollar. And she goes, then she takes out a second one. She goes, and just for spite. I said, oh, that's a kind of a godly woman you're going to be, just for spite, huh? She goes, do we need to talk about your driving, Pastor? And how you behave when you drive? I gave her the silent treatment for the next 5 minutes. It's about all I could hold. I don't like it when people point out my sin, but by faith I have to accept that I am a sinner falling short of God's glory. But in the same realm of faith of me believing that I'm a sinner, I have to take on the solid promise of God's word that he will forgive me, that he will wipe my sin away. Even though I am scarlet red covered in sin, if I call out the name of Jesus, then the blood that was shed on Calvary will wash me as white as snow. I have to take that on faith. There's no evidence of a contract written, signed by the hand of Jesus. There is the simple word of God. The life of faith, church, it means stepping out with God and leaving the results to him. And it means, all right, God, if you say your word says that I have to confess Jesus with my mouth as my Lord, then I will confess Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High Living God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will confess the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the Almighty God I am. You are my Lord. Amen. And Jesus says, the Word of God says, if you confess that with your mouth, believing in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead by the power and the glory of God, then you too will be saved. But what must I do to be saved, Pastor? You got to confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead for your salvation. Well, what else? Zippo. It means taking God at his word and leaving the results to him. Not to you, not to fate, but to him. The life of faith means I'm going to be the man. Or if I'm a woman, which I'm not, but if you are, insert woman. I'm going to be the man or the woman God wants me to be. Not the one I want to be. You see, when I have the want to, when I get into the mess, I make a mess. It means, all right, God, I'm going to live by faith, which means I'm going to be the person you want me to be. And if you don't know what that is, you can go on our website and listen to Dirk's preaching last week. He laid it out perfectly. If you're a born-again, blood-bought believer, you've got a calling on your life. And that calling is to minister the gospel wherever you are. Wherever you are, you're to serve the gospel of Jesus Christ. Living by faith means no matter where it leads me, I might not know where God is going to take me. I don't. I certainly pray and hope that God leaves me at First Baptist Church Orinoco until I am so freaking cranky and old that I can't stand here anymore. And then I'll sit in the front pew and I'll critique the next guy. But I don't know. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I promise you that a gentleman by the name of Scott Hoover did not know that he was going to slam his pickup truck into the rear end of a semi this week and total that truck. Did you? Wasn't on your radar, obviously. But God did. And he walks in here today and goes, I'm a walking miracle. And by that, we mean literally. All you had, you got a little boo-boo on your knee. Was that it? Wasn't wearing a seatbelt. Smushed a one-ton truck into the back of a semi-trailer and walks away. Didn't plan it, did you? Wouldn't plan that again, would you? Point is, I'm going to go wherever God leads me to go. I don't know where that is. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know the one who holds my tomorrow. And I know that no matter where I find myself tomorrow, I will be in the hand of God. Because the Bible says that when I am in his hand, when I have surrendered my life to his power, his control, and his authority, there's nothing that can rip me out of his hand. Nothing, nobody, no how. So I might find myself in the world's upside down, backwards, hot, fiery furnace, but I know that in that fiery furnace, he is with me. How do I know that? Because it happened in his word. I might find myself in a cage with a bunch of hungry lions, but I know that in that cage, I will be secure. Why? Because my God is with me. He's promised me he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Now, you know what? I might get burnt up in my fiery furnace. I'm not promised the rescue from the furnace. I'm promised the presence in the fire. So many of us want to live by faith without ever even smelling smoke. That's not a life of faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not run into the furnace. No, 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 no. Don't get crazy on me. They were taken to the furnace because they refused to bow their knee to an earthly king. Living by faith means I'm going to be the man or the woman God wants me to be. It means I'm going to go no matter where it leads. Even though I don't know the future, I'm trusting him to work out the details. Living by faith means accepting God's call without knowing where it will lead. On one level, we don't know where it will take us in this life. Okay, I don't know what my afternoon holds. I know what I have planned to do. I'm not looking forward to it. It's not going to be fun. It's going to be work. It's going to be nasty. It's going to be dirty. It's going to be it involves poo. And it's not changing Harper's diaper. I've done that. That's awesome. I would rather do that than. I don't know what my physical life today holds. I don't know the struggles or the turmoil. But by faith, I know what my eternity holds. And you see, I know that in a crowd this size, I know that statistically speaking, even in America, in a crowd this size, there are people in this room today, you don't know what your eternity holds. You hope, you go, man, I think I've done enough. You know, I was a kid and I made this one decision at Bible school or children's camp and I walked an aisle and I got dunked and, you know, and I've lived a pretty good life. But if you're honest with yourself right now, you'd go, man, if that Revelation chapter 1 that Pastor read this morning, that Jesus shows up in here, I'm not sure. Listen, the Bible tells you that you can be sure. Yeah, I drive like a maniac at times. There was this crazy person, God bless him, in front of me yesterday. I don't know what they don't even know what they were doing. And my wife just looks at me, mm-hmm. I'm not confessing my perfection. I mean, when the phone goes off in the service and I'm preaching, I get ticked. No, I'm just kidding. But I don't live my life in doubt. I will sin today. I know that for sure. Trust me. When I'm ripping out sheetrock and I get poo on my hands, When certain people drive up unannounced in my neighborhood and I'm mowing and they blow their stinking honking horns and scare me, more than hand gestures were going that day, Lynette.
I heard your lips.
Yes, she did. I'm going to fail. That's a given. But the guy who said he's the chiefest of all sinners in the Bible, the Apostle Paul, he said, you know what? I know I'm going to mess up. I know I'm going to drop it big. But I also know that when I do, I have a Savior that I can turn to. His name is Jesus Christ. And His hand has already reached down to grab me from the muck and the mire and rescue me from the power and the penalty of my sin. And He will establish me because He has started that work in me and He will complete it. So I don't have to worry about my stupid sin today. Yes, it bothers me when I sin. Yes, the Holy Spirit inside me grieves me. It causes me to bile up and go, oh, why, Lord? Why don't you just kill me now? And He says, that'd be way too easy. I want to teach you more grace. I want to give you more mercy. I want to bring more victory to your life, Youngberg. So when I sin, and I will, and I do, I have the promise by faith that He's already washed that thing white. So if you're in this place today and you're just not quite sure, then I would look at you and say, then you're not living by faith. Because faith is the substance. It is the title deed to the promise of God. If you don't have the title deed, you don't have the promise. You might be living in the house, but you don't own it. Do you understand? You might not see what tomorrow holds physically, but you can see your eternity. If you can't see that today, as Kevin comes and closes us, it's called an invitation. There's that Jesus we see pictured all over, the nice brown flowing hair with the beautiful glow around Him. Tom Paul, the prophet in Sunday school this morning, said that's the Jesus that is offering. That's the Jesus right now that is offering Himself for you, His life for yours. His hand is the hand that reached down into the stormy waters that pulled Peter up from drowning. His hand is the hand that comforted John, even from the cross, and his own mother. I mean, that is the Jesus of comfort and grace and mercy. And when that hand of comfort is extended out to us, it's an incredible picture. That is what He is offering to you today. But in the same light, the Jesus of Revelation chapter 1, the one with the eyes like fire, the face and the hair, the sun, the sword coming from His mouth, even at that moment when John fell to the ground as if he was dead, even that awe-inspiring, terrifying vision of the Lord, His hand still reached out to comfort you. If you don't know, if you are unsure, would you please understand that the God of all creation gave His Son for you? And that if you, in just a moment, would simply stand and move towards Him, you don't have to make the full walk. If you'll just take the first step of faith on the promise of God's Word, He will do the rest. The Bible says if you draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. Peter got out of the boat, took the first step of faith, and then did what? Walked on water. Pastor, I'm a mess. It's okay. The Bible says there's one who was messier than you, and God took his life and changed him. There was a man named Abram, lived in the Chaldees, in the place of Ur, the city where sin was worshipped. Literally. God called him from that. God led him from that into an incredible promise. Are you living by faith, church? Here's a good way to tell. Everybody else is looking at you going, dude, you're nuts. That makes no sense. How can you build a boat when there's not even water? What do you mean? Well, you're going to walk around this Jericho city with these fortified walls and you're going to toot bazookas? Toot, what are those? Kazoos. You're going to toot horns and shout in the wall? Come on! You can't... You want a building that the government and another denomination... No way! Can't do it! You're freaking nuts! If the world is telling you you're nuts, chances are you are. Because you're living by faith. And you're living in what is unseen to them. If you're just going through your day... And everything in your day can be fully explained by your hand or the work of someone else, other hand, human hand in your life, you're probably not living by faith. If everywhere you go has a rhyme and a reason and makes total sense to you, chances are you might not be living by faith. Well, how do I know, Pastor? Ask him. Ask him. Lord, am I following you where you have called me to go? Lord, am I doing what you've called me to do? Or God, am I just living my own life? The Bible says if you'll call on him, if you'll seek him, if you'll knock, if you want to find an answer, he says he'll be there to answer. This is your invitation to life, to grace, to mercy, to victory. Your invitation to answers. But you got to take the first step of faith. Now I'm going to make it easy on you. I'm going to invite you to stand. Okay, so see, now you know you can be obedient. You can respond to an invitation. Jesus Christ is offering his life in your place. Eternity with him rather than an eternity in hell. He's offering you to be washed from the power and the presence of your sin today to be white as snow. He's offering that to you. Now the question is, will you respond by faith? How will I know, Pastor? You won't know until you take the first step. I'm going to bow my head. You can do whatever you want. I'm going to pray. And if God is calling you to take a step of faith, I'm going to ask you to take it. No one in this room is going to... If they do, I've got people already armed. No one is going to step in between you and God. Father God, the very fact that we can be in this place this morning, freely, singing hymns of praise, opening your word, shouting the name of Jesus, that's only because of you. Has nothing to do with our choice to come here today. Nothing to do with people trying to keep us from. Father, this was ordained and purposed and planned by you today. And Father, we praise you for it. Now, God, I ask that in this place, right here, in these people's lives, your will would be done. Father, I pray you would call people out of a life of comfort into a life of faith. Out of a life of weakness into a life of faith. Out of a life of emptiness into a life of faith. Father, I pray that your Spirit would speak to our hearts and draw us closer to yourself. I pray you just keep the enemy from these walls today, just for the next few moments, Father. From the hearts and the minds. Just pull them away, God, so that only you can speak to our hearts today. If there be that one, God, who needs to surrender their life to you, speak their name to their ear right now. Tug on their heart, Father, as only you can, that they might come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's in his name we pray. Invitation is open. You come. Kevin will play. There'll be people up here who will pray with you or pray for you. Is God calling you to a life of faith? If you're a Christian, yeah. Are you willing to step out, even though it might be dangerous, scary, anxious, unknown? Are you willing to do that and live a life by faith? If you are, you can come. If you don't know what it looks like, come anyway and we'll show you. Do you want me to...
my salvation and my strength. The cords